Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. A MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tincata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tincata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tincata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tincata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tincata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TincataFabrics.com.
Welcome to FGIC 2022. That sounds like a very long number, doesn't it? My name is Ben Flagel, and I am the president of the Fools International, and this is the pre-Brotherhood Bash blogcast. So we've got a lot of guests here today. The whole e-board is here, plus we've got two of the founders. And so I'll introduce everybody, but then we've got one or two people that need to introduce themselves properly. So to get right to the chase, we're honored to have John Bart Simpson with us. I never remember you as John, which is Bart. So, and he's a founding fool. We got Mike Dugan, a founding fool with us. And then there's Dave Dubowski, our new secretary. We got Chris Benrek, our PIT. And the PIT is what again? We changed the name.
Public Information and Technology Chair.
Right. So that's the PIT. That's much easier to say than Education Chair or whatever.
We had Webmaster and Education. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got our newest member of the e-board, Dana.
Larkin.
Thank you. And Dana Larkin has stepped up to the plate to be our treasurer, and we can't thank him enough for doing that, because that's a very important position, and it takes a very patient and exacting person to do that job. So very grateful to have you with us, all of you. And I hadn't gotten to us yet. So yeah, I haven't forgotten Bob. And we got Bob Foss, the vice president, and myself. I became president in 2000, and COVID broke out. And so this is my first time back at FDIC, my first time with my e-board as the president. So this is kind of a delayed start for me. And so, yeah, we're just going to do a little pre-bash talk here. Chat it up a little bit. Bob, why don't you tell us what the bash is going to hold for us tonight, you know?
Well, so we're going to be outside at the Pan Am Plaza, but it'll be out in the open area. Of the last couple of years we've done inside the facility, we'll be under the tent tonight. There'll be a number of the Fools chapter. I'll be out there with their merchandise. We'll have international merchandise. Expect to see the pipes and drums. I'm sure we'll see Bobby at some point tonight. So again, another good opportunity to just get out, everybody get together, hang out, spend some time together, share some of that brotherhood and sisterhood that we've kind of missed for a while. So definitely a good opportunity for everybody to get back together and spend some time together.
That's right. And this is the first time back in a tent since 2013.
It was outside the Collada in the past, the last one we had before we moved inside.
Yeah, that was I've got a picture of that night with that huge flag they would put up next to the tent and sun going down. I'm looking forward to tonight because I think it's going to be good. Also, with the founding fools that are with us. And then there's also Walt Lewis. I've seen him around. You guys don't just show up at FDIC to shop. Can you tell us a little bit about the classes you're teaching?
Earlier in the week, we did the hands-on commercial fireground operations out of Greenfield Township or Greenfield Territories Training Center. And we were just talking about the weather that we went from 80 degrees to 30 degrees in 3 days. But it's always a good week, and you get everybody together and do some good hands-on training and share the brotherhood.
Thank you very much. That's not only you guys, but I saw Walt's class was being advertised this morning or yesterday. And
in a workshop.
Yeah. And Richie Stack is out in Champaign doing RID operations. And I don't know if anybody else is out here. But,
well, had a class.
Well, yeah, I know, but he didn't say anything, so I was just moving on.
No, I did a couple of workshops. I did a workshop on company drills, a four-hour class. And then I was supposed to be doing another four-hour class with my teaching partner, Mike Galliano. Unfortunately, he and his wife both got COVID on Saturday, so they couldn't show up. So I did a solo, This House Rocks. But there were quite a few members of the Fools, and not just people, as you mentioned, Richie Stack and Walt, Fools board members and past members of the boards. There were Fools all over this place who are teaching classes all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to see.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Cap. We ran into Cap yesterday. We came into town on the road yesterday afternoon, and I think you were the first person we crashed into. It's good to see us. First time I've seen you in 3 years.
In 3 years. And I was with my buddy from Australia. And it's the first time we've seen each other in 3 years. And he finally got out of Australia, and his wife gave him a 50th birthday present to go to FDIC and get back. It's been 3 years. You're getting too itchy and shaky,
yeah,
not being at FDIC. So it was great to see it. And it's great to see all the people here. I mean, it looks like there's a ton of people in the hallways and in the classes and everything else. So it's really looking good. I think the bash tonight's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I believe they said the other night at the instructors meeting, what, the attendance is the highest as ever.
Ben, it's above pre-pandemic levels, mm-hmm, which is great.
Wow. Cool. Right. People are done with that pandemic. I was trying to avoid mentioning the pandemic, but this is only my second trip down out of Alaska, and the first one was miserable. So I'm really enjoying myself not having a mask on my face. Feeling a little bit normal. The e-board has been up to a lot during the pandemic. And as Richie was handing the e-board over to me, he and I were talking about regional reps, and it took a solid year to get to a point where we had fleshed that out as to what we wanted to do with it and how we were going to structure it. We just decided to, after consulting with a few people that in the business world that kind of gave us some guidance on that, they were like, what are you holding back for? So we pushed the go button, and we have established 4 out of 5 reps already. And they are busy getting to know the chapters. And so I thought we'd talk a bit about that for a minute. And Bob, can you run through where our regional reps are?
Sure. So they actually hit the ground running. Pretty quick. A lot of them are already making good contacts. Robbie Fisher, who sat on the board as our training trustee previously, is now trustee out on the West Coast. Then we have Mike Burrow, Tony Gillen, and Rusty Ricker. Again, been very active. They got lists of the chapters that fall under their purview. They've been reaching out to them and being in contact and just trying to build up some more of that communication and passing on the word, both from the board down as well as from the local chapters up to us, just trying to get more active and more communication out to the membership is extremely important. It's one of those things that we've tried for a number of years to try to find the right platform to have that contact and maintain that contact. And so far, it seems like the guys, regional reps, are doing a pretty good job reaching out to the chapters and getting people active and involved. So I think it's working out pretty well so far.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the guys we've chosen,
And as they find their way out there, I would encourage all the chapters to respond to their emails and make contact with them. They can help with a lot of questions that newer startup chapters are struggling with. And some of the old chapters just need to know that we know they're there, that they're still there and that we care about them. Some of the ways that we're trying to increase our communication with the chapters have not seen a lot, borne a lot of fruit. So the regional reps are our next effort. But we haven't given up on the other ones. Chris, you run through the list of social media efforts we make.
Right. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, trying to be as active as we possibly can, trying to get out there and just like, when we see things from other chapters, like the stuff as the international, I think that goes a long way to building some roads and maybe a little bit more enthusiasm for some of those folks. If they see that the international is actually paying attention to the things that they're doing, trying to do a little bit of a facelift on some of the stuff on the website, try to freshen it up a little bit. When we started that whole project, it was, let's get it all in there and make sure the information is available to folks. But now trying to make a little more sense out of how it's laid out, make it a little bit easier to navigate through, constantly getting questions about where can I find the International Articles of Association? Where are the articles? Where are the articles? Well, they're on the website. I promise you they're on the website. I checked. It's a PDF. You can download it. You can read it. You can do whatever you want with it. Almost. So just trying to
get our presence out there.
Yeah. And if you have stuff that's going on in your area, in your department, something with your membership, email it over to me. You can message through the website. You can message us through any of the social media platforms. Let us know that it's going on. Let us help you spread the word. And let us help you. Help us help you.
And why does a chapter even need to worry about the international? The cool thing about the society itself that I've appreciated since way back when I started my chapter in Alaska, it says right in the Articles of Association that the chapters are to have as much autonomy as can be allowed. And that came into play in membership issues and other situations the chapters find themselves in. And I can remember having to face Walt and Mike. My brain just went blank. It was Kenny. It was Kenny Ireland. And they were there asking me about something at our convention. And I was like scared stiff. And I had Danny Grimes with me because he's also a police officer. And I figured he could be a good bulwark. And we just explained that we were running things to live up to the ethic and of that they had started. And we explained ourselves. And Walt said, well, it sounds like it's your laundry. Yeah. Glad you're taking care of it. Kenny goes, well, I think we need more beer. And that was the end of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to live. Because all the way from Alaska, it meant a lot to see these guys come up for our convention. And then, you know, anytime there's a convention, there's something going on squirrely and the president is stressed about it. And what I would like to communicate with that topic is the reason we want communication with the chapters is because our sole purpose is to support the chapters. Sure, there are articles of association to provide structure and to keep the chapters from going too rogue, but we're here to help you celebrate the fire service and to do that by training your people and getting your logo out there, to get your name out there, and to support you in the things that you want to do. And we can't do that if there's no communication. So give us a shout. I've had some great conversations with newer chapters when I was the secretary, and Dave has followed up with that, and it's right up his alley. And we meet these people traveling, and in fact, I'm hoping to see at the bash tonight a young man from South Dakota. I think that's where he ended up. The newest chapter.
Stoneface
yeah. Fools. I want Fantastic to give a shout out to Stoneface Fools because he and I met on a plane flying back up to Fairbanks. He was in the military at the time and he was in the Air Force Fire Department.
And why is it Stoneface Fools?
Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I should have known that. Anyway, I told him about the Brotherhood Bash, and he was wanting to be there, and he and about the Fools Only deal at the Hampton. And so it's really cool to make those connections. It's rewarding for us. And I can't stress it enough, especially for the secretary and the treasurer, to have that feedback is critical, because these two guys, I got to remember it's PG something in here. So they work hard. They work very hard. I'll just put it that way. And we have a few ways to reward them. So Bob said we can get a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts with our Fool's name tags, but that's about it. So that feedback is pretty precious. And so anyway, enough about all that. Dave, I know that you were on the e-board last year. This is the first time that I've had my e-board all together as president. I would really enjoy it if you give a little of your background and what you're doing as secretary, and when you took over from me, and how we've ramped up things with the new cards.
Yeah, so I'm an engine company officer in St. Louis County. People ask, how much longer you got? That's what the age thing now is. How much longer you got? And I've got the perfect answer. I thought about it, and I just tell them I'm getting warmed up. Just getting warmed up. But I started volunteering in 1984, so, you guys do the math. Still love going to the firehouse every day. And when Richie Stack was the president, he approached me about this secretary spot, and I thought about it. I know I talked to you, Ben. I'm sure I talked to you, Bart, and it's worked out really good. I've really enjoyed it. You and Chris were kind of my mentors as I learned the process. But the best part about it is getting to meet, the new chapters. And, you mentioned Stone Face Fools, but another new chapter we have is now a chapter from Australia. Cap, you got your buddy here from Australia. We'll have to get him to sign up and join the chapter back there if it's somewhere close to him. I know it's a big country, but it's pretty cool to meet all these people from across the country and hear their same passion that all of us have at this table about the job, and kind of put them in the right direction. And then, it all comes together, and it's a real treat for me. It said we do hard work, but it's really not hard work if you enjoy what you're doing.
Well, amen to that. And that's what I told myself, as I used to cut out the little cards and laminate them. And then my son and daughter would be helping me laminate. They'd get a card sideways in the laminate, and I'd be like, you realize what I have to do to make that card again?
So we had a couple Puget Sound Fools flying to St. Louis and rode up with us. And one of them spent the night at my house two nights ago. And I was showing the official membership card maker, And he said, oh, hey, my card's damaged. Can I get a new one? I said, well, you got the old laminated one, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, you don't want to get rid of that. That's a status
sign. That's a classic, Yeah. Yeah, it was in Denver. I was just messing around with Mike Gilbert. And I said, are you a carded member, sir? And then he whips out the original card. And I was being the one that cuts those things out with scissors. I was just like, wow, that's something else. So thanks, Dave. And Dana, it's your turn.
Okay.
So Dana's our new treasurer.
And yeah, I'm a little late to the party. I had a whole nother career before I got into the fire service. Moved to an island that had a volunteer service, started volunteering in early 2001, and then got picked up at the ripe old age of 36. I've been with the department 16 years now. I'm the training officer. Had some dealings with the Fools early in my career. Had a couple super gung-ho young guys. Went to a couple meetings and kind of the chapter was just really far away. It just didn't pan out with how things were working for me. And then we've made a huge cultural shift in our department, and we're just trying to get things back in. So we were like, we should start our own chapter. So got some guys together, started a chapter in 2019, and then reached out to you guys when you needed somebody. And I love everything about it. Being here at FDIC as part of the Fools this year has been fantastic. Just running into people and talking to them. Met some guys from Space Coast Fools in Texas, talked to them a little bit, and then walked by them the next day on the street. And it was like, I'd known them forever. They were all like, oh, hey. And it's amazing. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad I'm here. Glad you guys let me in. And I was the last batch of old cards.
Yeah, I remember. I remember
you cut it. Yeah, I got talked about this spot, right?
did I crinkle the laminate? Yeah. Well, those are the two new members of my e-board, and we keep in touch with Richie. I miss him a lot, but we have to press on, and Richie has other things he's doing. And I think he's twice as busy as he was when he was in my spot. So those are big shoes to fill. He was on the e-board for 14 years. President for a good 8 of them or something like that. And you know, he put a lot of effort into making the board more efficient and more professional. And that is the goal of this e-board, is to hone those skills and develop people that we want to bring in to take our places. And that's a standing order to all the members of the e-board, is to start working on who's going to take your place, not to get rid of them, but because Bob and I and Chris are getting long in the tooth, and we don't want to leave things flat. So
Jesus
we need
Christ,
to
your youngsters, stop.
But long
I'm talking
the
about on the
e-board. In the roles, yeah, right? Yeah. And we talked about this even before this round of elections, where I got picked up again to stay in the vice president position. Is just wondering if we're getting to that point where we need some younger blood in the positions, right? And see some new perspective and stuff's changing.
You know, that's why you asked me a couple of years ago.
Younger guys. Yeah. That's why we keep taking younger guys around, right? But we have to keep those options out there. You know,
we need
a
popular guy on the e-board.
The face.
The faces are the fools.
Yeah. Oh. But so on top of that, you know, we did something a little bit different this year when we stayed out at Airbnb or BBR, VRBO. It was a little different for the board. You know, he gave us an opportunity to get to spend some time together. Dana came out. We made dinner at the house last night, and we got to sit and talk, you know, and that's just one of the things that we haven't got to do as a board in a long time. You know, is Skype and all these other means of doing so, but physically being in the room together, you know, and having a conversation and being able to talk and see how things are going and coming up with plans and ideas for the future, which is huge. And out of that, we kind of had a cool idea. You guys are going to see something here come out before long.
It's because I got a big mouth.
Because Chris has got a big mouth. We cooked dinner at the house last night. We made steaks and shrimp and some bunch of other stuff. And we came up with an idea after breakfast.
Yeah, it went out in the mail.
About that.
Yeah. So was mine. Don't worry about it.
So we made breakfast. Ben made an awesome breakfast this morning. He made
Chili's Kale.
Yeah. And after that, Chris came up with an idea. We're going to put out a cooking challenge. So you guys cook something at the firehouse or the station.
My mouth
or the
works
ship.
Faster than my brain.
And we're going to put it out there. A few years ago, we did that training challenge after we were down at the Lyft conference with Bonton Fools. So I think the board's going to be putting out a challenge here before long. So expect to see something from each of us.
Yeah, I got to figure challenging it out. Guys, I figure out how it's going to work.
To submit, we'll come up with something. Submit a recipe.
And you two are in charge of the whole thing.
We got
which
it.
Which is the cool part. Yeah.
Do I get to delegate anything to anybody?
Yeah, the eating.
So be on the lookout for that. Something should be coming out here before long. We'll fine tune some details, and you'll see something coming down your way.
Thanks for bringing that up. I had actually forgotten about that already.
So I think we've got a few minutes left. What I wanted to finish off with is with the two of you, Bart and Cap. I really would like to know your opinion about some things that have been bouncing around in our conversations. And when we ran into Aaron earlier, he brought up a positive point. There's a lot going on in the fire service, and so much of it seems to be kind of negative. With people leaving the fire service in droves, depending on who you talk to, but I've in some of the training I've been in this past year, I've talked with a lot of chiefs, and they're seeing a lot of people leaving, and it's not the old guys, it's people they just hired a few years ago, and so that's one thing on my mind. And And the impact of the fools is another aspect of it, because we have the fools have made training and being really good at your skills very popular. And there have been other people contributing to that, but the fools are a major component. I don't think anybody can argue with that. And it's not necessarily cool to be a chief. So who's promoting up? And I wonder what your thoughts are on those things. And Aaron's point was there's some really energetic people in his classes that he's really impressed with. And so maybe fewer people attending some classes, but the people that are there, he says, are really on fire. So what are your thoughts about these changes in the fire service?
Me and Mike get our, all of us get a little older. It's definitely my department. It's a rapidly growing department. It looks like we're going to be hiring about 60 people here next year. And it's interesting. You got to keep up with their technology level, and they're probably not the way that we remember recruits, you know, back in the earlier days. And sometimes it's a challenge to, number one, retain them, or to get them through that recruit process. And then once you get them out on the road, you know, that we had one that he didn't understand why he had to get up in the middle of the night to answer calls. So that was a challenge, and he's not there anymore, you know. He chose to leave instead of getting up in the middle of the night. But it's definitely, and I'm sure the older leaders before us had the same challenges when we were growing in the fire service. And I can remember, they used to call us the snot-nosed kids and all this other stuff. I catch myself calling them that now, but just their work habits are different. And, you know, just as you were saying, we had a very good 2 days of hands-on training. And they were wanting to be there. They were energetic, and they were like on fire, and they were really there to suck up the knowledge and that. And, you know, we kind of wish that more of these kids, you know, I could take about 5 or 10 of them and throw them on a bus and bring them to Florida with me and, you know, have them come in and fire up some of the other guys that are coming on. And, but again, it's just like every generation, we have to kind of learn to overcome those. And I don't think we've all found how to overcome them yet.
And I think it's a generational thing across the board. I remember people talking about us. When I went into the fire service, they were all military veterans, you know, Vietnam, Korea, World War II. They were all military veterans. And then we were just punk-nosed hippie kids, you know. And they said, oh, we're ruining the fire service. Well, it's not. Here's the thing that I think we, the people who have been around the fire service, screw up more than anything. We don't tell them what we expect of them. Okay, if you have a brand new probie and you have rules in your department and you don't give them a list of rules, what you want them to do, that's on you. You know, you can't expect the kid to know if it says we start at 7 o'clock, we show up at 6:30. Unless you tell them, listen, this is the way we do it. Everybody's done this for years. Okay. It says 7 o'clock, but you show up at 6:30 as a courtesy to the other member. They're going to show up at 6:30 for you as a courtesy, but we all do that. That's how we do it. If you don't tell them what we expect them to do. And I hear guys my age and Bart's age and all around us, when a young kid says why, they get pissed. I think it's great. Because if I don't have the answer as to why I do something, maybe I got to go back and find out why I do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you have to include them. Okay. And, you know, people don't want to change. We don't want to change. I've heard stories of guys, one of my friend's fathers said one time, the fire department is ruined. It's ruined. They destroyed it. You know what they did to destroy the fire department in his day? Put a radio on the fire truck, not on any of the members. On the fire truck, so they could call them when they were out. Where are you? They ruined the fire department.
They're tracking us.
They're tracking us, exactly. Okay. It's up to us to make those young men and women. Now, some of them are going to be that kid. I don't want to get up at midnight and go to on assist. And there are going to be people who bitch about going out and helping an older woman who fell down or an older man whose wife fell in the bathroom. And it's the worst day of his life because someone he's loved for 50 years is on the floor and he can't get her up himself. And she's embarrassed. And if we have some kid walking in there going, what the heck are we doing here? No, you don't understand. This could be your grandmother. How would you want her treated? We have to educate them. And that's on us. And that's on us. And I think the fire service is going to be fine. It always is. I just think we have to find out where we fit in there. And we have to get those young men and women who want to do those things. And they're out there. We have to find them.
And that general, that role that we fit in is ever changing.
Ever changing.
Right? It's constantly changing as time goes on. And we talked about it. And it's funny that you said that talked about expectations when Ben and I were sitting in the bank today waiting for these guys. We got in to talk about the expectations and letting the chapters know what the expectations are. You know, how many people actually know what we expect as a board? Yes, we have the articles of association, but what are the expectations?
Yep.
You know, and I think that's really important to, I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I really couldn't, you know, and it's, I think that's important.
Well, these are the things that are rattling around in my head as I sit up there in Alaska. Wish I could communicate easier. Dubo, you got anything to add to that? You are very much involved with the young folks.
Well, yes. And then, as you know, proudly, my son was hired on the job.
Yes.
18 months ago to Chief Jason Hubbleman at Florissant Valley Fire District in St. Louis County, a phenomenal fire district, busy fire district.
Progressive
fire district, and I couldn't be more proud of them. And I see what's going on. I see he walked into a 30-year career that he walked into that he'll be set for life now. He's going to make good money. He's going to have a great pension. Who has a pension anymore? Very few people have pensions, but yet they're giving these jobs away. I mean, my son, he obviously earned his position. But there are so many spots in St. Louis, and I'm sure across the country, to where we just can't find people.
Yeah.
And whether you don't have enough people wanting to work construction as a carpenter or as a plumber, it's the same in the fire service now. It's a societal thing, generational thing. And you look at the numbers on the National Registry of Paramedics, how much those are down, you know, over the last few years. This is going to continue to grow for a while.
Yeah.
And it'll work out. The fire service is going to be fine, but we have less people to choose from. There's still going to be good kids out there. Mine's one of them. And, but he's up here this week, and he's got other kids that are his age that he went through the fire academy with. They're all up here this week. They're having a great time. They went to HOT the last 2 days. We're going to be okay. There's not as many wanting to do it. There's not as many out there, but we're going to find them and we're going to move on.
But I think the other thing is going to be the peer pressure of guys like your son out there who are saying to their buddies, do you know, I went there and I learned this trick at training. Holy mackerel. Where'd you pick that up? Oh, I went to HOT at FDIC. I went here. It's going to be, I mean, I told the story about my daughter. She's a school social worker. She took a part-time job waitressing, does 4 shifts a week, came home the other night with $857 for a week. Okay. She's like, Dad, I don't know how people are not doing this. She goes, I just paid for a trip to Florida for me. I'm like, I'm flying down to Florida. I got the place, food, the whole 9 yards. I got it all covered. Okay. For working, she's got my work ethic. Sooner or later, people are going to catch up. Like, you know, I'm not going to be living like this. And there are a lot of people who are taking advantage. You know, where my daughter lives, there are a lot of people not paying their rent. She's paying her rent every month and doing the right thing. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up with those, and they're going to have to do something. And I think people like your son, like my daughter leading, other people are going to look and say, well, maybe I want to be like that.
If I can pass on an experience that we had, our first, on Monday morning, our first group, we had 2 young ladies from the FDNY come in there. And we've been talking about it for the last couple of days. The FDNY didn't send them. They came on their own. They, you know, paid for everything, their hotel, their meals, all that. But they were just so energetic that it just kind of, I guess, a breath of fresh air came across, because, you know, everybody has problems with their where they work and the negative people and all that. But these two young ladies, I mean, they put their heart and soul into it. They wanted more reps. They were always in the front. If somebody stood out, you know, I'm like taking their time, the next thing they're jumping up there. And, you know, the one little girl, she's like, we were doing a saw station, and she like said, well, I don't get to cut very much, because she's on an engine. And we showed her a technique for starting a saw, and she goes, well, I never saw that. So she was down doing reps on how to start a saw. And we had her up there, and we did our cuts, and we were rotating people through. And she goes, well, if there's time, can I come back up here? And I said, sure. So she got finished up, and we're loading the kids on the bus. She come running up, goes, oh, I guess we don't have enough time. And I'm like, no, jump up on the tower ladder and go up there. And their friend came with her, and their smiles, they were so energetic that it just was kind of refreshing to see the younger kids and that want to be here. They want the job. They want it. They understand it and everything else. And we had one of your son's friends who rode up with your son in our class, and, you know, and just a little buzz of how energetic that, you know, sometimes we get in that mindset where the old guy and all that other stuff. And just like you said, you know, the old guy said to us, you guys are the ruin of our fire service. But I think, like Mike said, the fire service is going to be all right. We just need to get some momentum and some energetic people back into the fire service that love the job, because this is the best job in the world.
For sure. And we've got to tell them that it's okay to love the job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being into the job, being a part of the job, and loving what you do. There is nothing wrong with that.
What was Joey D's famous saying?
Are you on the job or into the job?
I can't imagine any of us have ever experienced harassment over that.
No.
Yeah.
You love it. You love it.
Well, I got to say that, you know, my fire department is designed to draw them in and train them up and pump them out. And so we're used to watching them flow through, and they're always enthusiastic. But in recent years, I've noticed how energetic the young girls are. And Cap, if I can impose upon you one more time, I do believe you're the one that started talking about the eyes in the mask in the dark hallway, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a lot to me when I became aware of just that concept. And I just want to thank you for that, because I think that statement is the statement that we need in every firehouse in these times, as the young people are teaching us how it's going to be and who's going to do the job.
And, mm-hmm. And just if the folks out there don't know what I said, I don't matter what sex, what race, what religion, what anything you are. I don't care. If I look and I see another pair of eyes in the face mask and you are with me in a hallway, you are my brother or sister. You are all that matters. Okay. As long as you are willing to do what I am willing to do, crawl down that hallway, I don't care who you love, what you worship. I don't care. As long as we are brother and sister on the fire ground, it is all good with me.
In that moment, that's when it counts.
Absolutely. And that's the moment that counts.
Absolutely.
Where the rubber meets the road.
And thank you for putting those words out there all those years ago, Cap.
No problem.
And I don't think we could end on a better note. Does anybody else have anything to throw out there real quick? Come on out to the bash. You don't want to throw in anything about chapter dues or anything like that.
So you want to end on a good note.
We'll work out that. Okay.
Good note.
All right. We're signing off then. And Tammy, thanks for hosting us. We really appreciate it. And
see you next year.
Are we clear?